Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahoma State podcast, presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh here on the Cowboy Chronicles. Texas week. It's a big week for the Pokes.
Hey, Big 12 is finally here.
Big 12 season is here. All sorts of
it's a sellout Friday or Saturday, Scott.
That's the word. That's over 100,000 people at Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium this week. Going to be a whole lot of fun. It's been more like Boone Pickens South though lately for the Cowboys. And let's go ahead and start there. Let's scrap all the plans that we just made.
Yeah, we just made plans that were otherwise.
And go right into this. First of all, shout out to the OSU APSE members that we just got the chance to speak to.
Yeah, we just spoke to them. Fun we told guys. Them to subscribe. They don't realize there's a quiz coming their way
right
later
exactly.
from this to make
that's
sure
exactly
that they
right.
listened to the very end.
That's right. We need to, by the end of the show, we need to come up with a code word for them to tweet at us so that we know that they've listened all the way to the end. But let's get back on topic and discuss Oklahoma State's recent success. I say recent. It feels recent when you're talking about football, but considering it's every other year, going back to 2010, five straight wins in Texas. No other program has ever done that before. Oklahoma State couldn't beat these guys forever, and now they've had almost a full decade of dominance. Seven wins over Texas in the last 9 years. As I said, five in a row in Texas. And Jacob, I know I've only covered one of those five games, being that in 2017, and you being new to the beat, you haven't covered any of them. But we seem to know just as much as anybody else about why this winning streak has occurred. Not a lot of answers as to what has generated.
Yeah,
such
Yeah, I'm kind of shrugging my shoulders here, going, I don't know. It's some things just are baffling sometimes, and not that Oklahoma State can't do this, but it's just that no one does this to Texas.
Exactly.
I mean, not even OU really gets in a stretch like this against Texas, to where they've gone 7-2. And in the last 9 years against Texas, it just doesn't happen. And you ask Mike Gundy what the secret is, he shrugs his shoulders just as much as we do and says, I don't know. We just play. Just go and we game plan well and we play. He gives you the old coach speak answer, and you kind of think, maybe there's not an answer. Maybe they have some sort of secret formula that they throw into a computer and behind the scenes, and they don't want to reveal it because, they've got it and no one else does. And
right.
it works for them. But, and last two years have been really tight.
Yeah.
You got an overtime win. You got a three-point win outside of that, too. And, they've had some luck. You got Texas punter, dropping the punt and, a minus 6-yard punt that results in a field goal that for OSU to win. You got Ellinger throwing a really bad interception.
Yeah.
You got plays like that really help, but still, I still kind of scratch my head when I think about this win streak, thinking, man, it's really impressive, but it's also really astonishing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. When you start thinking, over since 2010, how much turnover there's been among players, among coaches. Mike Gundy is about the only static figure in this entire decade of
he's
of
got
dominance.
The formula.
Oh, it must be it's in the mullet somewhere.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's in there somewhere. So it's a pretty fascinating thing to think of all the different quarterbacks on both sides that have been involved in these, good and bad, all the different defenses, defenders. There are so many unique moments. Anybody that has a chance should go try to find, I'm sure on YouTube somewhere you can find video of Mike Gundy's post-game press conference at Texas after they won in 2017. It was epic. The press conference was so good that I wrote another story just about the press conference as my follow-up from the game. So it was fantastic. There was a lot of funny moments in that. Go check it out, or just Google my story. Go find my story and check that out, because I hit all the highlights. Just trust me. But Jacob, what's your feeling about this one? This one feels, you know, last year was such a weird year for Oklahoma State that you didn't know what was going to happen from one Saturday to the next. They could go look so horrible one week and so fantastic the next. You know, it was homecoming when Texas came to town. They were busting out the Barry Sanders year, throwback uniforms and all of that. It felt ripe for an upset. I don't know. I can't get a good sense of what I think is going to happen on Saturday. You got any better gut instincts there?
I don't. I keep thinking, well, OSU's won five straight. Let's pick OSU.
Right.
But then Texas is I think clearly better this year.
I thought you were going to say they're back.
I'm not going to say they're back. Everyone says that, and it always slaps them in the face. I'm not gonna do that. But I think they've improved a lot the last few years. Bellinger looks like a totally different quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's improved greatly, so I wouldn't be surprised if Texas won. But weird things happen,
right.
And OSU has made this a weird thing, and so. I'm still going back and forth on who I picked to win this game. The other day I thought, nah, Texas is going to win. It just feels right. But then I'm thinking, well, Oklahoma State's offense, man, really good.
Yeah.
Texas has a lot of problems trying to defend that offense.
Got a couple of guys injured in the secondary.
Yeah. Tylan Nelson, who covers Tylan Wallace over the top? You know,
right.
You got two safeties out. You know, Chuba Hubbard, what he did against Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
He's capable of doing it against Texas.
Yeah.
You know, Spencer Sanders is going to be fired up being from Texas, being a guy from Texas. He's going to want to put on a show at DKR. And, you know, it's – I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine right now.
Yeah, no, my guess is way better than yours, I guarantee it.
That's true.
I'm not going to reveal what it is, but I'm just telling you it's better. No, we'll get around to analyzing that a little bit more later in the week. We'll also take your questions for our weekly mailbag segment for the Friday episode. At Scott Wright, okay. Hit me up on Twitter there with your questions, or you can email me, swright@oklahoman.com. Let's take a quick break. We'll get a little bit more into the offensive and defensive things that we think might turn this game. Coming right back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, Jacob, for Oklahoma State. We've seen a lot from Tylan Wallace.
A lot.
We've seen other guys get involved a little, especially at Oregon State. Not so much, except for after things kind of got a little out of hand last 2 weeks ago against McNeese. And then really kind of thin things out against Tulsa. Is it time for them to find some other guys to get more involved as Tylan Wallace continues to kind of draw a crowd over to his side of the field?
You know, I think they're going to have to in the Big 12. That's the only way you're going to survive, right?
Yeah.
And I looked at the stat sheet on Saturday at Tulsa and thought four receivers caught a pass for Oklahoma State. Four. I don't know the last time that it's been that low of a total receivers to catch a pass from Oklahoma State. They spread the ball around so much. They get so many guys rotated in there. They do this and that. The Cowboy backs always catch something. Cowboy back didn't catch a pass today.
No.
And, you know, Jelani Woods has yet to catch a pass this season, which is still a huge surprise. The other day, you know, McCray didn't catch a pass.
No.
C.J. Moore, who caught two touchdown passes already this season, didn't catch a pass. I don't know that he was targeted.
One time.
Yeah. You know, you've got those two didn't catch a pass. Patrick McCoffin has not really done much yet.
Right.
Landon Wolf caught a couple. Dylan Stoner got a little more involved. But you're still looking out there going, when are they going to open this playbook up?
Right.
And maybe that's the whole point in non-conference for them right now is they're not opening the playbook up. You're going to see Jelani Woods catch 6-8 passes Saturday and where this is going to be a moot point. But,
yeah.
You know, I now, start there.
I'll say this about Jelani. Someone who will go nameless said they would not be surprised if Jelani caught 6 passes this week. I will be very shocked if he catches 6.
Yes.
I think he'll get a couple.
Yes.
6. He only caught 7 all of last year. 6 would be a little wild. If he does it, I'll give it up to the person who
is it a good thing or a bad thing if he catches six, though? Do they want him to catch six passes?
I mean, it depends. If it's all red zone trips and he's catching them, in the end zone, that's a pretty good thing.
And I asked Gundy, do you anticipate spreading the ball around more? Do you emphasize that? And he just says that, they take what the defense gives them. And
right.
And right now, I know they're not trying to give him Tylan Wallace, but they keep going to Tylan Wallace.
Right.
And it's like, well, what are they taking away on the other side then? I just have questions, I guess.
Right. it's really unique. Obviously, the Tulsa game was odd because there was so much single coverage on Tylan Wallace, and you saw them trying to maximize those matchups, resulted in a lot of pass interference penalties, and the one really big play to cap off Tylan Wallace's 118-yard day. But you look at what they've got. It's also at the same time that we're sitting here saying, "Hey, do they need to be spreading the ball out more?" They've also got the leading rusher and the leading receiver in the country on the same team with a pretty talented quarterback, making for a trio of players that people are going to have to fear on some level at this point, with Spencer Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, and Tylan Wallace.
Tomato, tomato. That's right. I mean, but that's kind of my point. Same time though, can they do it the whole time?
Right.
And that's kind of where my question lies. Do you think that they can carry this load so much? Because Gundy even said Chuba carried the ball 32 times. He doesn't want them doing that every game. I think he's built to be able to do that every game right now for OSU, but they got to get more guys involved in the running game. They want to get more guys involved in the passing game. I think we're going to see the playbook open. But right now, too, I guess if you get by on those three, then by all means do it, because it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think of the original Cowboy triplets, and I'm talking about the ones down in Dallas with Aikman, Emmett, and Michael Irvin. If you've got three significant playmakers at those positions, and obviously you need an offensive line that can block for them and make all those things happen for those guys, but if you can get it done with superstars at those positions, that might be giving Spencer a little bit of a step too much to call him a superstar at this point, but I think that he's got the makings of a star, so we'll see. But definitely big time players at running back and receiver, and a quarterback who can get the ball to them effectively. So it's a good situation to be in.
Speaking of Spencer, kind of have the makings of. I learned today, and I maybe should have known this. I don't know, and I apologize if I should have. He's only 19 still.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that he's 19 years old and he's off to the start that he is, running the offense for Oklahoma State, growing on the sidelines, growing through frustrations, and figuring his way out on the field. That's impressive to me.
Yeah, it really is. And just to drop another bomb on you while we're discussing player ages and this trio, I don't know how old Chuba is. Tylan Wallace is only 20.
What?
Yeah.
I'm old. That's what the problem is, I think.
That's definitely part of the issue, these are some very gifted young men that Oklahoma State's putting on the field. The offensive line, I think, has they bounced back well against Tulsa to do what they did, particularly with the run game. That I think will be the bigger challenge for them this week than pass blocking. Texas seems to be pretty good against the run. They definitely forced LSU to throw the ball quite a bit. So, and at the same time, LSU also threw for over 400 yards. So that's an interesting kind of dichotomy there that we're going to have to keep an eye on this week. That'll be a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, what was it? Texas averages 85 yards a game on the ground, if they allow something like that.
Yeah.
It was roughly 85. I don't have the number
right
in front of me
right
now.
But right
that really stood out to me, like, oh, that's a good running defense.
Yep. Exactly. So that will be a fun balancing act to see how Oklahoma State attacks that, how they get Chuba Hubbard involved, and what they do with him. You know that there are going to be things on both sides of this, because it's the first conference game and it's such a big game that neither team has seen on tape from the other. So that'll be interesting to see what Oklahoma State unveils in the Sean Gleason playbook. that we haven't seen to this point, what Spencer Sanders can do that we didn't know about yet. So that's going to be a big storyline running through this entire game. So let's take another quick break and come right back. We'll finish this up talking some Oklahoma State defense here on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh, as always. Final segment of the show. Let's look at the Oklahoma State defense going into this matchup. I visited with Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga earlier today when players were available to the media. He's been very humble in his dealings with the media, but he is a guy who is playing really well right now.
Yeah, he and Malcolm Rodriguez have formed this pair linebacker that have been a lot of fun to watch. And Amen, you know, really played well the other night on an offense that really started to get going in the second quarter. And he never really slowed down much. It was definitely not on Amen and that. And he's starting to find a groove that's really, really impressive and becoming such a key part of the middle of that defense that I'm really curious to see how he does when he gets against in the Big 12 and see how he and Malcolm both do at the position, tracking the ball like they do.
Yeah, that's been it's been really fascinating to watch them, how they work together, how they sort of play off of each other. Very different styles of players, but both have a nose for the football. I asked Eamon if he was giving the defensive lineman a hard time about the fact that he's got more sacks than any of them do, and he said no, and I told him that was the smart answer, because I know that's not the real answer. I told him that was the correct answer, even though I know it was not accurate. And Tyler Lacey, defensive end, said that they do hear from him from time to time. So. But he's been a guy that's been in the backfield a lot, not just sacking the quarterback, but tackles for loss. That's going to be a big key this week with Sam Ehlinger and his ability to run the ball. And you add in the fact that he's throwing the ball better, or at least it appears that way so far through three games. That's going to add to the danger of that guy in the pocket. So getting pressure on him and keeping him contained when he runs is going to be really important, and that falls significantly on those two linebackers, Jacob.
Yeah, you know, they haven't faced this guy that can move yet.
No.
You know, and I asked Tyler Lacey about that too. I said, what kind of challenges does he present? And he said, man, he's more mobile, basically. You know, like we just haven't faced that yet.
Yeah.
And so I think Oklahoma State's trying to figure out a way to adjust to that, because I think, you know, that was the strong point of Ehlinger's game before, is he could run. Now that he can throw the ball, you can't just count on him to just tuck it and run. You've got to – there's so much more to plan for now. And Oklahoma State's trying to adjust to that. And like I said, Amen and Malcolm are both going to be keys to that, but I really think Amen for sure.
I like how you refer to Malcolm Rodriguez just as Malcolm, so it doesn't seem odd that you're only saying the other guy's first name.
Yeah, I can't say right, Amen's right. Last name. I'm not there yet. I might get there by
it's all right.
By Bedlam or something.
There
but
you
I'm
go.
Not there,
there
yet.
You go. That's a good goal. Good goal. I like it.
I can't be like you all the time.
Oh well, it's just pure luck for me. I've been practicing for 3 years, so
right in front of the mirror, everybody.
Exactly. While we're on the topic of guys with strange names that I like to say, Samuela Tuihalamaka.
Yeah, got that's his first start. Not close on that one.
Got his first start last week at defensive tackle with the guys that were banged up, Brendan Evers and Sione Asi. He was out there a ton. All those guys, all those defensive tackles were, because they were so thin at that position. Talked to Tyler Lacey this evening, and I asked him. I was like, seriously, how tired were you guys in that second quarter? He said, we had nothing left. He said we were wiped out. But Tuihalamaka has really come on. He was a guy that was a late find in the recruiting process, a guy that they added in the February signing period, which is now the late signing period when it used to be just the signing period. but a very important piece now, as he has developed as a redshirt freshman out of California, really has earned himself some serious playing time. But they've got to get some guys healthy and get those guys back, because they need some depth back at that position.
Yeah, you know, I asked Tyler too. I said, you know, how have you navigated this depth? And he said, well, I think he called him Sammy. It was a big help. I could be wrong, but I think he said Sammy.
Seems
about right. I'm going to call him Sammy. Welcome, Sammy. He was such a big addition Saturday. You know, because right now they don't have Israel Antoine. Brennan Evers is hurt. They're missing other guys that probably escaped my mind right now. And
right.
They had 9 defensive linemen signed up the other day, suited up the other day, and that was a problem, you thought, especially in the second quarter when you couldn't rotate guys in because they're just dog tired. And, you know, if he can continue to emerge against a team like Texas this week that always has a strong running game, it's going to be another step for that OSU defense.
A guy that I'm really curious to see what this week looks like for him is Trace Ford, because he's the smallest of those three guys at that the defensive end position they call the Leo, the one that moves around, lines up at middle linebacker some, kind of a stand-up end at times, traditional end at times. You know, I'm curious to see how he handles a big-time offensive line getting up and getting in his face. I mean, I think the guy's all kinds of gifted. I'm not suggesting that he can't do it. I just want to see what his first experience is like.
Yeah, he's a freshman going into this atmosphere.
Yeah, a true freshman
going into over 100,000 people, giant offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's got the speed to do it, but you're right. The size is the question there. And it's just curious. He's kind of ran free the first three games. And what's it going to happen if he has to face some adversity and deal with people who can slow him down?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fascinating. Also, Texas has really developed some extra depth in the receiving position. Got some additional guys. Got Colin Johnson back, which was a big boost because he was injured for the Rice game. Didn't know what was going to happen there, but it's going to be interesting to see how the Oklahoma State secondary is able to handle that. They've obviously had their ups and downs. They've been more good than bad, I feel like, this season, but they've had some moments against Oregon State and one play in particular against Tulsa where it looked like there was maybe some miscommunication or something going on that was a little concerning. But Texas is going to put out some really talented wide receivers that are going to make it difficult on that secondary. So that's going to be a big question. AJ Green spoke to the media this evening and was very excited about this matchup. Said there's a little extra juice on a week like this when you're preparing for a matchup that you know the ball's going to be in the air quite a bit. And he admitted that it looks like Ellinger is a much better passer, and he knows that they've got talented guys that can go and make plays on the ball. But all of those guys are going to be tested across the board, Jacob.
Yeah, it's the first real true test for the secondary, right? I mean,
yeah.
you know, Tulsa didn't do too much, especially that second half and the passing game. And I'm really just really interested.
Oregon State had their moments.
Yes.
Had their moments, but they really, it was more of a one-man show.
Guy's on the Blitnikoff preseason list, exactly. Like Wallace. You know, he was a really good receiver. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm curious, you know, as you go into this and you look at this secondary and go, we haven't seen much yet, so what do we get to learn this week about them?
Yep.
Harvell Peels played really well, had the big play on last week, I think it was the fourth down stop, and you know, on the blitz, and you got that, but is he going to need a moment like that again, or it's going to be a coverage moment, you know, I assume.
Yeah.
And you know, we haven't had to see him cover too much yet.
That's exactly right. So we'll see what happens there. You know, I'm always looking for a great opportunity to bring Tom Hutton into any discussion here on the Cowboy Chronicles. And I was as I was thinking about that 2017 game, that was the moment, at least according to Mike Gundy, that he decided he needed an Australian punter after Michael Dixon flipped the field time and time again. I had 10 punts. I don't recall the exact yardage, but I think it was around 51 or 52 yard average for the day, and just kept flipping the field on them anytime they made any progress or had a big defensive stop. That was walking off the field that day. Gundy said to the special teams coordinator at the time, "We gotta get us one of those." Basically, is what he said. And a few months later, they had identified Tom Hutton, and now he's here. And now we get to see him in Texas. So that'll be fun. We'll see what he has because you expect that he'll get a little bit more action this week than he has maybe to this point. So see what he's got in the tank and what he's got to put out there.
He got into one last week against Tulsa.
He did.
It was a nice one.
That's exactly.
You got right. A little excited over there beside me. Yeah, you were pretty pumped to see a nice punt from him finally.
I enjoyed it. Now I know his yardage isn't always great. His hang time's incredible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He had a short one too that he pinned on the 10, yeah. I think, around there. That thing just hung up there forever.
Yep, absolutely.
That was impressive.
It was. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Now, for those OSU APSE school classmates that we spoke to earlier, if you're still listening, #BB, just the letters BB. You obviously know what that means. Well, it's no secret. We're talking about the miniature horse that you wrote about a couple of weeks ago.
My favorite part of OSU right now.
Absolutely. So those of you who are still listening, find us on Twitter, #BB, so we know that you have lasted this long, and we appreciate it. And for all of you listening, thank you very much. Remember to hit us up on Twitter. Find me at Scott Wright OK to jump in the mailbag for next week's episode or the Friday episode on email. SWright@oklahoman.com. Almost forgot what my email address was for a second. And we will answer those questions whenever we get the opportunity. Also going to be joined by someone from Austin to discuss the game in a little bit more detail from the Texas perspective. So keep it here. Keep subscribed to the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at zaxbys.com.